All right, just starting at the top of Mem Vav Amud Aleph, we finished off with the statement. We had questioned the statement of Rav Papa, Afilu Leman D'Amar, Ein Matbea Nasecha Lipin. Rav Papa makes the statement, even according to one who says that a matbea can't work as the Sudar to do Chalipin. Nevertheless, Mi Abed Hu Delo Abed Chalipin, A Penuye Miknei B'Chalipin. It says, but nevertheless, even though you can't use it as the Sudar, you can't use it as the object to create the Kinyan Sudar, it can be the... Right? It can be the object of a kinyan chalipin ayidei sudar. It can be accomplished on a coin. You can have a kinyan chalipin in order to acquire that coin. That was the statement of Rav Papa. The Gemara, right, questioned that premise by bringing down how you made a goren ben biado ma'ot. Right, it was standing at the goren as a ma'ot and he wants to exchange his ma'aser sheni with someone else. Gemara questions whether that could be possible. And the Gemara's conclusion is, Shmamina, Ein Matbea Nikne Bechalipin Shmamina. Gemara's conclusion is that a coin cannot be acquired through Chalipin. And as Tosus points out here, that question is not only
a coin.
Matbea cannot be accomplished through Kinyan Chalipin. But as Tosus points out here, the question is not only according to Prabhupada, or a problem for what Prabhupada stated that you can do a Kinyan Chalipin on a coin. But also for the Mandamar before in the Machlokes of Rabban Levi, one who says that you can do Kinyan Chalipin with a coin, and that is also problematic through our Mishnah. So the Gemara's conclusion. Now we're starting about it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines down on Mem Papa Amud Aleph. So Gemara says, "Av Rav Papa Hadarbe." Even Rav Papa himself reversed this position, which he stated at the bottom of Mem Hei Amud Bet. Kiha de Rav Papa havule tresar alfe dinari bechozad. So he had these 12,000 dinarim that were lent out to bechozai, and he wanted to have them returned. So akninu de Rav Shmuel bar Acha. So Rav Shmuel bar Acha went to collect on his behalf. And if you remember, the Gemara in Baba Kama was discussing how can you empower a third party to collect on your behalf and have the borrower be willing to give them the money because they want to discharge their obligation. They won't hand it to a shliach unless the shliach is empowered to take it on behalf of the creditor, and they'll be clear of all obligations. The only way to do that is to have the shliach, or the agent, take possession of the object. So what did Rav Papa do over here? He sent Rav Shmuel Bergano, but he gave it to him, agav sifa sefer debete. He was makna him the money, so that he will become the baal of the money. Rav Shmuel Acha will become the baal of the money. Al yidei kinyan agav. He used the sefer debete. He used the threshold of the house. And based on that, he gave them possession of these 12,000 coins. So when he went to Beit Chozai, he would be able to collect on behalf of Rav Papa. Kihato, when he came back from collecting the money, nafuk lapei atavach. He went out to greet him, you know, a long distance. He went out to greet him because he was so excited that he brought back the 12,000 dinarim that he was owed.
That was a huge amount of money.
Right. It's a big number. So he was very excited. So based on that, you see that Rav Papa, the vehicle that Rav Papa used in order to have Rav Shmuel bar Acha acquire the 12,000 dinarim was a kinyan agav. And he did not use a kinyan chalipin, which would have been the easier kinyan to do. If he had a sudar, just do a kinyan chalipin with him. He didn't do that. Rather, he used a kinyan agav. Right now, V'chein Amar Uga, Ein Matbea Nase Chalipin. Uga agrees that a matbea cannot be Chalipin. V'chein Amar Vasi, Ein Matbea Nase Chalipin. Vasi also says a matbea cannot be Chalipin. V'chein Amar Rav Barachan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ein Matbea Nase Chalipin. So Rashi points out, this is going back to Machlokes Rav and Levi before, but they all agree here that a matbea cannot be used as a Chalipin, can't be used as the in place of a sudar. According to Rashi, these are just speaking about the fact that you can't use a coin as a chalipin. All right. Right. Although, so then you have to just deal with the actual vav here, which according to Rashi refers back to Rabbi Levi's machlokas, as we saw in Tosfos, that it turns out that both ways, that probably everybody holds that both ways it doesn't work. It doesn't work as a vehicle for a chalipin. It doesn't work as the object of a kinyan chalipin by sudar. But here, at least Rashi is reading that the chayin is going back to the machlokes Rav and Levi, and not a continuation of the story of Rav Papa. All right now, Eitve Rabbi Abba the Ula. So Rabbi asked Ula, Hare, Shayu Chamarav Upoalav Tovim Lato B'Shuk. He has his workers that are asking to be paid. It's payday. They want to get paid. He's in the shuk. So he has his drivers and his workers are asking for their money. But Amar Shulchani, he sees the money changers right there. Tein li b'dinar ma'ot. He says, take a dinar, meaning a dinar, a silver dinar, and give me ma'ot, give me plutot, you know, copper. Vafran the same. He says, and I will pay them off. I mean, let me pay their wages. Can you take a dinar, split it up into plutot, and then I'll pay their wages. Vani, now he doesn't have a dinar on the spot. He doesn't have any money on him. Vani, elelecha yafeh dinar v'trisit mima'ot. He says, and I will pay you back, right? Not only will I pay you back a dinar, I'll pay you back a dinar plus a trisit, which is a little bit more, right? A little extra, besides a dinar plus. So he's basically saying to him, listen, can you lend me a dinar today in the shuk, and I'll pay you back. When I get it, I'll get you back a dinar and a trisit. Right?
Isn't that
right?
Right? This is commission.
Right.
I mean, for
right, so the question is, what's the case here? Exactly, yeah. Exactly your question. Im yesh lo ma'ot, mutar. If he has money in his house, if he has his dinar in his house, then it's mutar. V'imla'a basur. And if not, it's asur. If you really believe that a coin cannot be acquired through chalipin, right? So habyalei halvo, right? Then it becomes a loan v'asur, and it shouldn't have worked over here. So the Rashi changes the girsa a little bit here. He says v'yamart ein matbean nikne b'chalipin, and the real issue is that he wants to acquire the coin that is in his house and give that over to the shulchani. So if he has a coin in his house, the Gemara here really is saying nikne, not nase. But either way, it's not. The conclusion will be the same. It says if ein matbea nase chalabin avle alvo vasur, right? Then it'll be asur. What's the ishtik? He was silent. Problem is that exactly what you're raising. If he is saying to him, lend me a coin today, and I'll pay you back a coin in the future, then that's basically schar hamtana. That is giving me money where I don't have it today. I become a debtor. If I'm a debtor and I pay you back more, that's ribit. That's exactly interest. On the other hand, if I have a coin in my house, right, then what the Gemara is suggesting at this point is if I have a coin in my house, there is no loan here. Or rather, what we're doing is having a kinyan chalipin here. What we're doing, a kinyan chalipin, is that you're giving me the coin in the shuk, and with that coin in the shuk, you're acquiring the coin in my house. So there's an instant exchange over the money.
The coins. Right. It's the coin
that's very good. So he's offering a dinar and a receipt. Exactly. So he's offering him a coin in his house. So that chalipin should work. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. If it's a kinyan chalipin, then he takes immediate possession of the coin in my house. Takes immediate possession of the coin in my house, then there's no sfar hamtana. There's no waiting. Over here, then it's immediate and there's no rebit. On the other hand, if I think ein matbe naseh chalipin, if there's no acquisition of the coin in my house, then by definition, there's kar hamtara. Because that means he doesn't come into possession of the coin until a later date. If he doesn't come into possession of the coin until a later date, then we're talking about ribit. Because there is some sort of delay between the time I took the money and the time I'm repaying the money. And when I do that, I'm paying him more than he gave to me. So it must be that a matbea naseh chalipin. Amalei, it says, Dilma, idi b'idi for prutotot shano. Wait a minute, maybe we're talking about prutotot here. Prutotot are obviously from the word prutal, so, but they're copper coins, but they don't have a tzura on them. That's what Rashi suggests over here. So basically, what he's asking him to do to pay off the workers is to give me prutotot, and then he's going to repay him in prutotot. What's the advantage of saying that? Prutotot are not matbeot, they're not coins, they're peirot. So if we switch the case here to say that he's talking about peirot, then we have no problem with the kinyan chalipin. Then it makes sense because he's exchanging, right, prutotot here for prutotot there. And that you can do it, that everybody agrees you can do a kinyan chalipin on, and that won't come into be a stira to what we have concluded so far, which is that you can't use a matbea in order to do a kinyan chalipin on a matbea. Right now.
Prutotot sounds like what we defined asimonim as being, right?
It's somewhat like that. That's what Rashi is suggesting over here. Rashi says asimonim. Alright, so that there is no shame, right, currency on them. And they're both perot. I mean, that which he's acquiring in the shuk, plus that which he's giving to him, are all perot. And that's why it works with chalipin. That's a good answer. Because listen to what the verse says. The Tani, yofer dinar vitrisit. Lo Tani, dinar yafer vitrisit. When we say yafed dinar, right? If you wanted the yafeh to modify the dinar, you would have said dinar yafeh, a nice dinar. So the fact that it puts the yafeh before the dinar says not dinar yafeh, but rather yafeh dinar, a dinar's worth. So that's the medayik in the brisa is that he's saying to him, give me a dinar's worth of prutatot, and I'll give you back a dinar's worth of prutatot. And then dinar yafeh b'tshisit, shmamina. So according to that, it's not a problem because talking about perot, we definitely can do kinyan chalipin on it. If we can do kinyan chalipin, then of course it's basically a sa'ah b'sa'ah, which is that I'm taking prutatot here, giving you prutatot there, and we do a kinyan chalipin, we do the exchange immediately through a kinyan chalipin. And everybody's good, everybody's happy, there's no problem of rebeat over here. Ravashi suggests the other answer. Ravashi Amar Le'olam B'damim. Talking about real money, upa prutatot. Right? Whether it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant whether it's money or it's prutatot. What's the answer? How does it work here? He says, Gavin Di'itle Nasek Omer. Since he's in possession of the item, it's as if he said to Milvani Achiyavol B'ni, O Achim Te Mafteach. This is the case we had before. That sa'ah works, right? If you're in possession of the item already, and if you have the item right away, there is no problem of repeat because you're technically not exposed, right, to the market fluctuations or problems of waiting because just saying I have the money, I just need you at a convenience. I need you to help me out. And that convenience is I can't get to the money. I can't access the money right away. So just please give me this and I'll give you the money back. But not that we classify that as Mefsek Rivit or looking like Rivit, but right, the issue is simply an issue of convenience, not an issue of a loan. Because he has the money, he can give it to you, and we don't worry about it in that case, but there is no looking like it's Rivit in that instance. So again, the reason now that he's paying the Trisit, he's paying that extra Trisit, is a matter of convenience. It's not, like Rashi quotes above, he says this, he says, Machla dochoko ozil gabe. Because of the pressure that he's under, he sells it to him at cheap. He's not paying him for the delayed time, for the waiting time. He's paying for him the convenience of being able to pay these people, get them off his back right now. So he's willing, because of that pressure, because of that, of the situation, the circumstance that he's in, he's willing to buy a dinar a little cheap. I mean, he's willing to pay more for the dinar just to get the polim and kamarim, they're paid off. And so because of that, he is paying him more money, not because there's a delay in his repayments. That's karam tana, but rather it's all about convenience. So he's paying him, like you were suggesting before, commission or some sort of convenience factor, which says if you pay him today, I can get you the money. I have the money, it's yours, but I just need to get it done right now. So for that convenience, I'm willing to pay money.
It is actually hava, but it's hava that does not subject to the...
Right, because it's not a hamtana issue. It's a hava that's not really a hava, because it's not an issue of time. It's an issue of just there's some other factor. It's an exogenous factor that's allowing us to have it. You have the money today, it's readily available, you could have paid it back. Right. Tosus asks a very interesting question here. Tosus na seka omega. Tomar and he, the shari sabasa, says, okay, we learned before that this idea that you can exchange on equal basis when you own the item already, for instance, we said you give, you know, sa chitim to sa chitim if you owned it right now. Who says that you can do sabisatayim? This says that sabisal works because of the basic principle which Shul, I think you articulated when we spoke about it, is that I'm not exposed to the market fluctuations because I'm basically taking a sa'ah from you, I'm borrowing a sa'ah from you, but I'm long, I own a sa'ah in my house. So I'm short a sa'ah to you, but I'm long a sa'ah in my house, meaning that I own a sa'ah in my house, but I'm buying from you, I owe you now a sa'ah. So those two cancel each other out, and therefore there's no market fluctuations. If there are no market fluctuations, there can't be any rebeat, because whatever I lose on what I owe you, I make on what I have in my house, and therefore it just crosses each other out. That's why there's no rebeat over here. On the other hand, here, the problem is that he's not doing a sa'ah b'sa'ah.
Yeah.
He's actually giving him the extra money. He's giving the receipt extra. That receipt extra, right, makes it that, okay, yeah, the saw cancels out, but what about this receipt? So then Tosu suggests over here, maybe that's rebeat. Why isn't that rebeat the gamur? So he says, V'yishlomer, t'hachay noten lo otom at be'atzmo shlakach, elamin acher. So Tosu says that the case here is not that he repays him the exact same type of coin. He pays him a different coin back. The domi the mekach umemkar, because then it looks like a transaction. When you do a loan, the only way it's mutar when you do a loan is to have it cancel out. It has to be of equal, right, equal items. So this is on, that's the only way it works, but then you're not subject to market fluctuations. It's only Rebid the Rabbanan. And there the Rabbanan said that that's not classified as Rebid. Hachanami. Derach Memchech Umemchkar Achilusab Satayim Mutar Omer Ashivo Bini. If the case is Mechach Umemchkar, it looks like a transactional, right, type of situation. In a transactional situation, you can even do a Sab Satayim. Because that's similar to what Rashi said. Tosus is phrasing it more in a, right, theoretical manner, but he's saying that when you have Mechach Umemchkar, Sab Satayim, you can have uneven exchanges in Mechach Umemchkar, because that's what Mechach Umemchkar is about. It's about selling and buying. In that I have a need for something, you don't have a need for it, or you have more of a need, less of a need, and because of that, we will pay different prices, or have simply different views about what something is worth. So that's what's the case. As Rashi said before, the coins here are worth more to him because the convenience of being able to pay his father right now. Even though he has those coins in his house, they're worth more to him right at this minute. Because they're worth more to him at this minute, he's willing to pay more for them. So he's willing to pay more for them. That's okay if he doesn't do it as a loan. He does it as Mechach Umemchkar. So Tosfos' way of creating how is it Mechach Umemchkar is to say that he's exchanging coins here for different coins in his house. Not dinar kesef, but say dinar kesef im ma'ot, or whatever it is that he's exchanging for.
It seems clear that it's not the same coins because we said you pay dinar instead of dinar yafek.
Right, well that's right. If that he's giving him prutzot tot, meaning that he's giving him prutzot tot over there. Right? He could be giving him prutzot tot, or you can explain it as dinar yafek, even if you explain him as dinar yafek. Right. What Tosfos is suggesting here is that it does have to do with the coins, that you do have to have different, even if they are dinar kesef, new dinar kesef versus old dinar kesef, there has to be something there that's different that creates it into a case of Mecca from Memkar and not a case of Alba.
According to Tosfos' explanation, if it's like Mecca from Memkar, so what sort of a Kenyan is it?
Now there's a Kenyan Meshicha in the Shuk. When I take the coins,
right,
that's a Kenyan Meshicha, so I'm obligated as a Gavra to return it to you. I have no obligation to return you. I'm obligated in a monetary obligation. So this Mishnah in Kedushin says that anything that is nased damim ba'acher, which is an ambiguous term, we'll have to see what that means, soon as one party takes possession, of it, the other one is now chayiv in the other object. And kol nased damim ba'acher, what is kol nased damim ba'acher? It says, matbeah, seems to be a coin. Money, right, is always can be used in exchange for another item. I mean, we value other items based on the monetary value of those objects. So, everything, anything that can be given as value for, or exchange for anything else, what is that? That's coins, that's currency. So what do you see from here? You see, you can have a kinyan chalipin with a matveya, because once you take possession of the coin, then there is a kinyan chalipin. So, Shema Minah, Matbeh Naseh Chalipim. Now, I remember that this is how to read this Mishnah in Kedushin. Half of them are Kol Hanishom Damim Be'acher. Right, anything that is assessed in value Be'acher, Kevin Shizachazeh, Netchayiv Zeh Be'chalipim. So, what does it mean, Kol Hanishom Damim Be'acher? Right, Rashi says, Kol Shregilim Lashumoto, Shremimoto Damim Be'acher. That anybody, if you give this in exchange for another item, you will assess the value of the item beforehand, and Rashi says that's Hainu Kol Metaltalin. All Metaltalin people use as Shavik Kesef. So Nishom B'damim is anything that you would assess the value of it to use in exchange, in a barter exchange. Yeah, sure. So there's a Kol Nishom Damim Ba'acher, right? Anything that, when is exchanged for another item, will be assessed for its value. You will assess what the value of this item is. Then Kevin Shazakhazeh, and it's Chaim Zeb Chalipin. If you use that item as the Sukar, then it'll work in a Kenyan Chalipin. What is an item that when it's exchanged for others is always assessed the value? The Gemara actually says it's metaltalin. We're talking about metaltalin over here. So achanami mistabro. That makes sense. Mintani mistabro, mintani seipo, because the continuation of that mishnah. Ketzat. What is the case of chalipin? Hichlif shor bepara or chamor b'shor. So now we're reading the Girsa of Rashi. It exchanges a shor and a para or a chamor and a shor. Shmamina. So what do you see from here? What's the exchange that's going on? The Mishnah describes a principle and then gives you an example of that principle. The principle says, Kol Nishom a kol, right? Kol Nasid Damim Ba'acher, Kim Shazakhazen, Itkayv Zeh B'Chalipin. What's the definition of that? Well, the Mishnah gives you a case later on. It calls you a shor versus a para. or a chamor versus a shor. In that case, where's the matbea? There is no matbea there. The example that the Mishnah gives is clearly two objects that are being exchanged. And the two objects that are being exchanged are classified, according to Rashi, as peireg, as metaltalin. And since they're classified as metaltalin, you can do a kinyan chalipin. When you take one of the items, you take possession of one of the items, the other one automatically goes into possession of the other party. So because of that, you see that the explanation that we're giving for the Mishnah is correct. And now, ulumai, the salika dati mi'ikara, but based on the havamina, that matveya, right, that it was a coin. Meaning that, how could the Gemara even have considered that the havamina to explain this Mishnah was a coin? How do you explain the ketzad part of the Mishnah? Meaning that, fine, okay, we bring the ketzad afterwards. But that's in the Mishnah. If that's in the Mishnah, what was the Gemara thinking when it said matveya was the explanation for the first part of that Mishnah? So my case, said Rafi Kamar, Upere Nami Avde Chalipin. So you have to amend the Mishnah to say, what, that Matbea Nase Chalipin, and Peirot also, you can do Chalipin with it, Ketzad. What's the case of that? Kilchiv Shor Beparah, Chomor Beshor. Right, that if he exchanges a, right, Shor Beparah, Chomor Beshor, that is an example of Peirot doing, or doing Kini Chalipin with Peirot. Hanichal Rav Sheshet. That works for Rav Sheshet, Damar Peire Avde Chalipin. According to Rav Sheshu, says that peirot you can use for chalipin. Elor Rav Nachman damar kli ein aval peirot lo abde chalipin. My ketzad. According to Rav Nachman, who says that a kli, only a kli, can you use as a kinyan sudar. Right, then, what are you going to do here? A peirot lo abde chalipin. My ketzad. How are you going to explain the ketzad? Now, according to the way Rashi reads the Gemara, this question of Rav Nachman is from both the Havamina and the conclusion of the Gemara. In the Havamina of the Gemara, we said that, first of all, the matbea is used as chalipin. Then we said, then peire also are chalipin and ketzad, and use it peirot. So if that's the case, that's a problem for Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman doesn't allow the peirot to be used as a kinyan chalipin. And in addition to that, our conclusion in the Gemara, the way that we explain the Gemara in the end is, what? Add is my ketzad. We say that kol nishom b'damim acher kem tzachlaze nikhayen ze b'chalipin. Any metaltalin can be used in exchange. What's the example of the Mishnah? Ketzat, Mezeh Shor Bapar, Para, or Chamor Beshor. Again, the Mishnah gives examples of Peirot. According to Rashi, both areas, or both problems, both explanations of the Mishnah are problematic for Rav Nachman. Both according to the Havamina and according to the Maskana, the Gemara is giving an example of a Kinyan Chalipin Ayudei Peirot. If you have a Kinyan Chalipin Ayudei Peirot, right, that makes it, that problem is for Rav Nachman in both instances. So how is he going to explain it? Afi Kamar, he's going to say like this. No, Yesh Damim Shehein Kalipin. God bless you. There are times where there is value that can be used like Kalipin. What's that? That value works in a similar manner to Kalipin. Ketsa, Echliv Demei Shor Bipara or Demei Chamor Bishor. Right. So he buys an object. For instance, he buys a para, and then he says he decides that he doesn't, or he buys a shor. And he decides he doesn't want to pay for the shor, or he doesn't want to pay for the para. He's now, with the money that he says to me, listen, I'm going to buy the shor of you, and they agree to a price. And after they agree to the price, he says to me, listen, instead of me giving you the money, I'm going to give you, right, that value in kind. What am I going to give you that value in kind? I'm going to give you a shor worth that amount, or I'm going to give you a para worth that amount of money. So over here, the kinyan is not done as a kinyan chalipin, right, but it's done as a kinyan kisif. Over here, we're doing kadamim. It's a monetary kinyan. So ketzad, how do you explain this? Echliv demei shor b'para, demei shor chamor b'shor. So my time at the Rav Nachman, what does Rav Nachman believe? He says, Savar lak Rav Yochanan, demar tevar Torah ma'ot konot. Right, that he says that mina Torah ma'ot or konot. Money is, right, able to make a full-fledged kinyan and make it that the transaction is irreversible. Ubnei ma amru mishicha koneh. So then why did the Chachamim then insist that ma'ot are not sufficient to create a kinyan, but you actually need a kinyan mishicha? Right, so that we are afraid that he will say that you are chitim, are nisru baliyah. What's the case? The case is you have a buyer and a seller. The seller has wheat that he wants to sell to the buyer. The wheat is by the seller. Buyer comes along, hands him money, and he leaves the wheat by the seller because he doesn't have time to pick it up yet, he doesn't have a truck yet, so he leaves it over in the possession of the seller. So once the money was given from the buyer to the seller, the transaction's done. Who owns the wheat that's sitting in the mocher's place? The buyer. Now what happens all of a sudden if a fire breaks out in the seller's location? Fire breaks out there, the seller looks up and he says, That's not mine. I don't need to get it. I don't need to protect it. I have no interest in that chita over there. That belongs to the buyer. I'm not going to make any efforts to put out the fire or take care of his stuff because it's his. It's not mine. So if it's his, it's not mine. I'm not going to do anything about it. So in order to prevent that, the Chachamim said that only once you've done a kinyan mishicha, once one of the objects is taken into possession, only then is it a full-fledged kinyan where it's irreversible. In that case, it is reversible. If it's reversible, that means that the mocher has both the advantage, if it goes up in value, to back out of the transaction, so he has upside, and if it goes down in value, then the buyer has the right to walk away, and therefore it's worthwhile for him to take care of the chitim. If the fire breaks out there, he's not going to just let it go to waste, because the buyer could just say, I'm reversing this transaction, give me my money back, because you never delivered my produce. So that's why the Chachamim established a kinyan mishicha, even though min haTorah, money would have been sufficient. So Mar says, umilta de shchicha gazrube, Rabbanan. When it comes to a normal course transactions, the Rabbanan goes there in that case. Umilta de lo shchicha, when it comes to a case that's not, as shchiach, like our case over here, where you're exchanging an animal for, money, you're exchanging it for money, but then you, in place of money, you gave him in kind, for money, you handed him a shor or a para. With the shor or the para, right? Lo gazrube, Rabbanan. In that case, they were not gozer. Right, this is, according to Rashi, the explanation of the Gemara over here. And we have a Mishnah in Kiddushin, which presents a problem for Rav Nachman, both on the Habamina and the Maskana, because the Habamina suggested that you had a Kinyan Chalipin by a coin or Matbeya. Gemara solved that problem, by saying that Kol Nishom Damim means Metaltalin. And that makes sense by saying why? Because Ketzah, how does that work? Echlik Parah B'Shor Shor Parah. All those examples are examples of peirot that are being exchanged. And even in the Habamina, we thought it was Matbeya. The second half of the mission we explained as being not that that's an example of Matbeya, but rather an example of peirot being exchanged. So both of those are problematic for Rav Nachman, who doesn't have peirot. Rav Nachman reinterprets that Mishnah in Kiddushin to say no. That when we're talking about Ketzah, those Ketzahs are not cases of Kinyan Chalipin. Those are cases of Kinyan Damim, monetary Kinyanim. And monetary kinyanim that look like chalipin. Why? Because as soon as you give the money, the transaction is done. Just like by kinyan chalipin, as soon as the sudar, one of them takes possession of the other item, does a kinyan on the sudar, the transaction is complete. So too over here, when a person gives the money, the transaction is complete. Why? Because mina Torah, like he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, mina Torah, ma'ot konot. Money is sufficient to create the kinyan. What's the problem? The problem is that the chachamim would go there. In cases that when ma'ot konot, that's only when there is a mishicha as well. Why? Because we want to protect the buyer in those instances where the merchandise is still with the seller. So that, the Gemara says, if it's gzeirat derabbanan, gzeirat derabbanan, the general principle, they only do mishchiach, in normal course of business. Normal course of business is you pay money for an object and you're getting the merchandise back. That merchandise is now protected because of this gzeirat chachamim. In a case where you do this convoluted transaction, where you really bought it for money, and then afterwards you decide you don't want to pay money, but you're going to give him in kind, to settle the monetary obligation. In that case, the chachamim are not gozer, because that's an unusual type of transaction. There they were not gozer, kinyan mishicha. There they left it at the deraisa level. The deraisa level is that ma'ot konot. Money is sufficient to create the kinyan. And that's Rav Nachman's explanation. Both for the Habamina and the Maskana according to Rashi, the Ketzah in the Mishnah and Kiddushin is not a Kinyan Chalipin. It's a Kinyan Damim that looks like a Kinyan Chalipin because as soon as the money's given, the transaction's done. It's as good as done.
It's not the money that's
good. Tosfos asks over here, how does it work? What makes it that the Kinyan works over here? Because you're not giving money. So Tosfos says
that he... Is it once he agrees to accept that payment, or do you actually have to give it over?
Right, so it sounds like once he agrees to accept it, it's enough. Tosfos and the Omo explains what, how does this work here. It says, "Umakli luhu b'mechilat damim." The kinyan here is with the forgiveness of the money that he owes. See, he says that's the kinyan. The kinyan over here exists from the mechila. You owe money. You bought a para. You bought a shor. You owe money. So now, I'm going to, in place of that, I'm going to give you an animal in kind. Now, where is the kinyan over here? Where is this kinyan ma'ot over here? What is the kinyan that's establishing over here? So Tosfos says the kinyan is the mechilat hadamim, the forgiveness of the obligation that you have, the money that you have to pay. That mechilat hachov creates the kinyan on the animal. That mechilat hachov. Why? So Tosfos explains over here. Right? He says even though in kiddushin he says the mekadesh milve eno mekadeshet umemechra lo kana. We have a statement in the Gemara in kiddushin that if you have a loan outstanding, and even in transactions, if you are mekadesh with them, or you buy something with a loan, it doesn't work. He says, "Haynu ki kadsho kono chafetz b'ma'ot shechayav lo." That's when you're trying to use the money, right, that you owe. So for instance, you have a loan outstanding. You are a creditor to a woman. The woman owes you money. She's a debtor. And you say, with that loan, I want to marry you. That, the Gemara says, does not work. On the other hand, about kadsho, o kono behanat mechilat milveh. On the other hand, you say to her, with the benefit that you get from me for giving this loan, you are nitkadesh. Or, with the benefit I'm for giving you this loan here, I take a kinyan of possession over this animal. Right, then, mo'il. Kamo aruch lo zimna, but the berlech ha'lishul don. Like other forms of hana, which is that I'll extend the loan for you, the repayment terms I'll extend for you, or I'll speak to you on behalf of you to the government. All of these things are hana. With that hana, you create a kinyan. So as it also explains, that Gemara in Kedushin is very difficult, how to reconcile between the different Gemarot. Let's say Mechilat Chov works, Chov does not work. What are the differences, right, in the Gemara? We spent a lot of time in the Rishonim when we did it in Kedushin. Rabbi Yartosa distinguishes and says that's what the case is over here. The case of why it works, or the Kenyan that is being extended over here, is not that I'm giving you with the loan, I'm buying the shore. That's not the Kenyan Ma'ot over here. The Kenyan Ma'ot is here is that since I am forgiving you for having to pay with Kesef, that forgiveness of the loan has value, has monetary value. With that monetary value, you are now kone the shore. That's the kinyan damim over here. The kinyan damim is that value of the forgiveness. That's how Tosus explains the kinyan according to Rav Nachman. Now that is explanation, again, we said according to Rashi. Tosus, on the other hand, says that it is not willing to accept this explanation. Why? First of all, Rashi changed the girsa. You look up in Rashi, Rashi says, Hachi garsinan, right, that when it comes to the Hafi Kamaru Peri Nami, Rashi at the end of there says, Shor Bipara, that's Gersinan. The Gersinan Kamar is Shor Bipara, Velo Gersinan Basar Shor. Right? There's another Girsa, which obviously Rashi is saying Lo Gersinan means that there is an alternative Girsa. The alternative Girsa is Basar Shor Bipara. Basar Shor means not a live animal anymore, but meat. Right? Meat are Peirot, as opposed to Shor and Para. The way Rashi explains the Gemara and the Mishnah and Kiddushin, Rashi is suggesting that live animals have a din of perot. Din of perot because they have a shor versus a para, and that's the problem for Rav Nachman. The problem here is that we're talking about metalkalim perot, and live animals are classified as perot. Right? No dead animals over here, no meat that we're speaking about over here. So the two problems, right? Tosfos raises a number of issues with Rashi's explanation, one of which being that the old Girsot and the Rif and others and the Sfarim HaKadmonim have a girsa that's not like Rashi. They have a girsa that it means basar shor versus para, and not shor versus para. Tosfos' main issue with Rashi is that what is the solution according to Rashi for Rav Nachman? The solution for Rav Nachman in the end is that what? You have demei shor be para, or you have right demei para be shor. That's the solution according to Rashi for Rav Nachman. What does that solve? Right? Which part of the Mishnah does that solve? Does that only solve the Havamina, or does that solve the Maskana? But according to Rashi, the Kulan Ishim the Damim, it doesn't work according to Rav Nachman in the conclusion. The Hakanami Mistabra, that explanation of the Mishnah, does not work according to Rav Nachman, because according to Rav Nachman, we cannot explain the Kinyan Chalipin as being a Chalipin of Perot or Metaltalim, because Rav Nachman holds that Kinyan Chalipin does not work. So if that's the case, the solution, right, except with Kalim. So according to this, that solution for Rav Nachman is no good. And therefore, when Rav Nachman comes to explain the Mishnah in the end, according to Rashi, it must be that Rav Nachman is still explaining it according to what either the Havmin or is rereading the whole Mishnah of Kol, right? Kol Nased Damim Ba'Acher. Kol Nased Damim Ba'Acher is not even talking about Chalipin at all. That there is no Chalipin at all. So Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's explanation. And because of that, he says, Venira, the shor upara chayim have a kli chashuv. He says no, that a live animal is classified as a kli. Lefi shemishtamish behem liton masui v'lachrosh. Because not only is an animal valuable for itself, but you use it to carry things and to use it to plow the fields. So because of that, it is also classified as a kli. Olamai tashani kol nishiyom atishapir afik l'Rav Nachman. So according to the conclusion of the Gemara, that's even good according to Rav Nachman. Why? Because on Kol Nishom B'damim, we said it's Pere B'Pere. But what's the example of Pere B'Pere? That's Ketzad, Shor B'Para, and Para B'Shor. So based on that, so that's not a problem for Rav Nachman at all, because when you're using a Shor and a Para B'Shor, those are what? Kelim. So for Rav Nachman, that's not a problem. So what is the problem for Rav Nachman? Right, so Tosa says this maskana of the Gemara is not a problem for Rav Nachman, because the maskana of the Gemara is that we're talking about metaltolin, but the metaltolin we're talking about are animals. Animals are kelim, that works perfectly according to Rav Nachman. The problem or the question for Rav Nachman is only mina habamina. Why is that? He says over here, the only low parach of Rav Nachman lefi ma disalka dat from yikara. Damar upere nami avde chalipin. The pere also do chalipin. Meaning that the Gemara, the way the Gemara later learns on, or the maskana of the Gemara is, there the Gemara does not mention the word pere. It just mentions that something that can be used as chalipin somewhere else can work over, or can be used as monetary value somewhere else can be used. What's the example of that? Example of that is shor b'para, para b'shor. That can work according to Rav Nachman. Why? Because the word peirot are not mentioned in that Mishnah, or that explanation in the Mishnah at all. The only thing that is mentioned is nishon bedamim, and the example given is animals, livestock. Livestock, according to Rav Nachman, are kelim. According to everyone, are kelim. No problem from Nachman. Where does it come up? Problem is the way we originally, the havamina that we had in the Mishnah, how to read the Mishnah. The havamina was what? Coin is the chalipin. And then we say, afterwards, what do we say? Upeire name ose chalipin. Peirot also do chalipin. Ketzad, what's the example of that? That example the Gemara says is basar shor b'para, or that example. But there, the Gemara is saying explicitly, the Mishnah is saying perei havi chalipin, perot are chalipin. That Rav Nachman can't deal with. V'im tomar lishnei Rav Nachman yitaritz kol nisham kumo shuhu lefi amet. So then, why does the Gemara say then? Why is the Gemara then trying to explain the habamina according to Rav Nachman? The answer is kol nisham b'damim. The answer is according to Rav Nachman is that we just read the Mishnah wrong. Now, the way we read the Mishnah and the conclusion is not a problem for Nachma. Okay, according to Rashi, the Havamina and the Maskana are a problem for Rav Nachman. So we have to come up with a totally alternative answer to deal with it. According to Tosfos, only the Havamina is a problem for Rav Nachman. The conclusion is not a problem for Rav Nachman. So when the Gemara asks from the Havamina on Rav Nachman, why don't the Gemara just answer, okay, Rav Nachman learned the Mishnah like our conclusion, and there you don't have a problem. So he says, V'yesh lomar, d'mistama lo yachlok Rav Nachman al Rav Levi shayu kadmonim. So he says, right, that we can't, Rav Nachman couldn't argue on Rav and Levi, who were before him. And therefore, according to Tosfos says that Rav and Levi, who argued before about Matbea Naseh Chalipim and not Naseh Chalipim, that according to one who says that Matbea is Naseh Chalipim, he cannot explain the Mishnah according to our conclusion, which is Kol Nishom Damim. Because kol nishom damim sounds like only things that are of value, that can be exchanged for value, but not coins. So he'll have to explain the Mishnah like the Havamina. If he's going to have to explain the Mishnah like the Havamina, it means that Rav Nachman has got to figure out a way to explain the Mishnah according to the Havamina in order to fit in with Rav and Levi. And since we don't want Rav Nachman to argue with Rav and Levi, Rav Nachman's going to have to find an explanation for the Havamina in order to reconcile with Rav and Levi. Now, Gemara says, Uber Reish Lakish, what are you going to do for Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. Damar Meshicha Mufresh Mina Torah. That the only Kenyan that works Mina Torah is a Kenyan Meshicha. Ma'ot are not ka'ot, but they are not ka'ot, mean the Raisa.
So, even in this crazy case,
it won't work. Right, it won't work. Even in this Lo Shechicha case, that doesn't help. So, Anicha, you suffer like Rav Sheshes. That works if he holds like Rav Sheshes, that payroll, Nasir Khalipin, he doesn't have a problem. He can explain the Mishnah without that. Mitarik's like Rav Sheshes, he'll answer like Rav Sheshes. He'll suffer like Rav Nachman, but on the other hand, if Reish Lakish holds like Rav Nachman, Damar Peyre, lo Abde Khalipin, a payroll don't do Khalipin, Umatbea lo Kani, and a Matbea is not working because that's Reish Lakish, meaning payroll don't do Khalipin like Rav Nachman, Umatbea lo Kani like Reish Lakish, hey, Khimitarik, how do you explain this Mishnah? So Mar says, Al Kochach to Rav Sheshes Mitaris. You have to say that Reish Lakish holds like Rav Sheshes. Right? So that's where part of what Tosfos says over here is a problem is that Rashi later on paskins like Reish Lakish, and Rashi paskins like Rav Nachman. So he paskins like Rav Nachman and Reish Lakish, then you run into a problem based on that. Basically, the problem for Rashi is that if the question of Rav Nachman in our Mishnah is both from the Havamina and the Maskana, and then Rashi concludes, right, that the Mashkona, the Locha is like Rav Nachman, and the Locha is like Reish Lakish, then how does he explain the Mishnah? There's no way for Rashi to explain the Mishnah based on the Locha being like Rav Nachman and Reish Lakish. According to Tosu, says that the question of Rav Nachman is only in the Havamina. But the Mashkona, there's no question of Rav Nachman, then we can explain that Mishnah, even if we pass it like Rav Nachman and pass it like Reish Lakish, we can explain the Mishnah like we did in the end, which is Parah B'chamor, Parah B'shor, which is Kelim B'Kelim, and even Rav Nachman can explain the Mishnah. By Rashi's reading it, that the question is all the way through, even in the Maskana, then it's very hard to explain the mission if you pass it like Rish Lakish, you pass it like Rav Nachman. According to Tosfos, explaining the Havamina, to solve the Havamina, we came up with this whole explanation about how to explain the Havamina. And then when we do explain the Havamina, you can't reconcile Rish Lakish and Rav Nachman. That'd be that it only could be according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Nachman can explain the Mishnah and the Havamina. But the Maskana, you can even explain it like Rish Lakish. That would be the way Tosfos reads it. According to Rashi, this is would be the conclusion both of the Maskana and the that Rav Nachman and Rish Lakish can't, Rav Nachman can't hold of Rish Lakish. Or, I'm sorry, Rish Lakish can't hold of Rav Nachman. Right, it's not. Kol ha-metatlim konim zeh zeh. All metatlim can be exchanged one for the other. Rav Rish Lakish. Vafilu kis malei ma'ot v'kis malei ma'ot. You can exchange a wallet full of money with a wallet full of money. So what does it sound like over here? That sounds like we're doing a kinyan chalipin on money. You have kol ha-metatlim, can we exchange one for the other? We have a kinyan chalipin going over here. And that kinyan chalipin is doing with a wallet full of money and a wallet full of money. What are we doing? We're doing a suda, a kinyan suda with kesef, basically. So what? That's a problem. Somewhere it says, no. Targumar avacha bedinar anka v'anigra. So these are two different, the coins in one wallet were an anka and one was a nigra. What are those? Echad shepesalto malchut v'echad shepesalto medina. That we're talking about here is that one of them was removed from circulation by the king, and one was removed from circulation by the people. So what is the difference between them? So Rashi explains the difference. He says, one is, right, that the king says that they're not good currency anymore. The people still use it as, in the black market, right, it's still used as currency. People are willing to accept it, just the king said no. The other one, echan pasalto midina, the bnei midina sanu, they don't want to use the coin. They don't like this coin, they don't like accept it as currency. The king didn't say anything. In other states, other areas, they're willing to use the coin. So these coins are used bedochak in other places, but they're not really going currency. So once you make them not into going currency, what are you doing? You're talking about peirot and peirot. If you're talking about peirot and peirot, kinyan chalipin can work. And there's no rayo that.
Rav Nachman fit into it?
Not necessarily, right? Not necessarily.
Or we see like Tosfos says that.
What?
Who says also that the Mabeza was a
Kli? Oh, you can say Mabeza is a Kli. Right. Tzricha.
Diash
minim psalto machut, mishum lo sagi kwa. Because if machut says that it doesn't go, right, then you would think it doesn't work. Why? Because psalto machut, right, that machut said it doesn't, you can't use it at all. About psalto mitinat, sagile mitinia achide, since you can use this coin in another area of the king's machut, then it's considered currency still. Emakati matbeo. If you're only talking about psalto medina, where the people don't accept it, but the king does, you can't use it in this area, you can't use it at all. If the king wipes it out, the sagile medina, you can still use it privately, you can use it on the black market, then it may be kati matbeo, it's still classified as currency. So teaches you that both these types of coins are not classified as currency anymore, but rather they're classified as payroll. It says they're classified as peirot, and then you can do a kinyan chalipin on these items. So we'll stop here.